Well, hi, church. Thanks for checking in. We're going to look one more time at the book of Joshua, chapter 9 today. The deception that occurs here with the people of Gibeon and how they deceived the leaders of Israel and Joshua into making a covenant of peace with them, even though God had said to go in and utterly destroy all the inhabitants of the land, and where this went wrong, and then how it applies to us. So there's just a few points to kind of wrap up with this. This is the third message out of this chapter that we've done so far. And there's a lot going on, of course. But we've talked a few times about they have a fear of God. They recognize this. They say it in verse 24. They say, because it was certainly told to your servants that the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land, and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land before you. Therefore, we feared greatly for our lives because of you, and we have done this thing. Now behold, we're in your hands. Do what seems good and right in your sight. They heard about it, okay? They heard about it. It was certainly told to us that the Lord your God had commanded Moses to do this. They not only heard about Jericho and Ai being destroyed, and they mentioned previously in chapter 9, verse 10, the Amorites beyond the Jordan, Sihon of Heshbon and Og, king of Bashan, they heard about it. We know that the people of Jericho had heard 40 years previously. They had heard and were still talking about the 10 plagues that happened in Egypt. So the people of this land knew and were afraid. And not only did they know about these battles that Israel had dominated and won, but these guys in Gibeon even say they know that God had told Moses to conquer the land. They knew the full message. They knew the word of God, the books of the law. I mean, they wouldn't have known the whole thing, obviously. But they knew that, hey, this army that's coming in and conquering a couple cities that got out of Egypt 40 years ago, a generation past, this army's coming here, and they're not just coming here taking over a few cities. They're coming here to dominate and totally destroy everyone in the land. They knew the specifics of the situation, and they feared God. And that's wise. They knew enough of God's word to fear God. And they knew enough of reality of the world around them to see Jericho just went down and Ai went down. We're in the same general geographic area. We're in trouble. They had a fear of God. And their fear of God led them to desire peace with God's people. They recognized that Israel is God's people. And this, whoever this God is, whatever they think they know about God or don't know about God, they use the word Yahweh here, the Lord your God, verse 24. Like, they seem to know his name and everything. They knew enough to know that we better make peace. And we better not try to go to war like Ai did, or like Jericho did, or Og and Bashan did, or anybody else. We better not. They were smart and wise. The beginning of wisdom, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And they had enough fear of God to have that. But they didn't have enough fear of God to truly fear God. We looked at this in one of the other podcasts, but if they truly feared God, they would not have acted deceitfully. They would have come in conversion. They would have come and had a conversion and repented of their sin. Kind of similar, you could say, to what Nineveh did in the book of Jonah. They heard the message of God, they feared God, and they repented. They didn't know a ton about God, but they knew enough to know that they needed to repent. And these guys of Gibeon didn't know everything there was to know about God, but they knew enough to know they should make peace. They just didn't go all the way into full repentance. They went into deceitful lip service kinds of stuff. They weren't willing to totally convert and give over their total lifestyle into God's hand and convert into Judaism, which there's a process for. We looked at it, I think, in the last podcast on this chapter, that if they're to be circumcised and to celebrate Passover and convert, you know, completely convert. You celebrate new holy days. Get rid of your false religion. These guys were false. They were pagans. They were idolaters. That's why God sent Israel to judge them. They weren't willing to give up everything, but they do want peace. So they're wise enough to want peace with God and God's people. They're not wise enough to do it the right way. And this is a temptation, and Joshua fell into the temptation. Joshua, it says, verse 15, Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. The leaders of the congregation swore an oath to them. The verse before that, verse 14, the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. All right? God is the God of peace, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. He's the Prince of Peace. We have these titles for God about peace. Joshua looked at the situation, leaned on his own understanding, said, peace is good. I like peace. These people want peace. Let's make peace. God likes peace. Let's do it. They're talking about the fame of the Lord your God, verse 9. We heard about what he's done all over these other countries and in Egypt. We've heard about it all. God did that. Do you know why he did that in Egypt? It was a judgment on Egypt, on the gods of Egypt in particular. But he specifically said, and he repeatedly said, I think after every one of the plagues, he said, I'm doing this so that my name will be known and my fame will be known across the face of the earth. Repeatedly says it. I want my name to be known. Not just that Egypt is being judged, not just that my people are going to be set free. God believes in setting you free and all that, obviously. But he wants his name to be known. And that has been true from day one of his creation. When he spoke, all of creation recognized that he's God. And all of creation turned the lights on. And when he said separate, they separated. And then when he, on day six, when he created mankind, made them in his image and told them to spread his image all over the face of the earth so that the whole world would recognize and look like and reflect God, his image everywhere. And now in the New Testament, in times that we live, he tells us to go in and make disciples of every nation and teach them to obey everything he's commanded us, right? So this is the same mission. And Joshua is doing it in his time. And Joshua looked, saw something that made sense to him, and he made peace. He made peace without seeking the counsel of God. He thought he understood the counsel of God. And these guys sounded like they were legit. They recognized, they said, the fame of the Lord your God, the fear of God. We heard about these wonders that he's done, that God had done, like I just said. He had done these miracles and wonders for the purpose of making his name known. And here come these people saying, yeah, we heard about it. He made his name known. His fame has been known to all of us. Verse 9. So they sound good. They're offering a covenant of peace, and Joshua says, let's do it. But he didn't seek the counsel of the Lord. It reminds me of a total pattern that is all through Scripture and all through your personal life and mine, of the way Satan deceives and the way Satan tempts. He tempted Adam and Eve in the garden with something that looked good, with something that seemed right. Oh, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God. These are all good things. The fruit looks pretty tasty. It looks delicious. It looks like it'll make her wise. It just looks great. Come on, man. What's the problem? These guys come along offering terms of peace, and their terms of peace, like, it doesn't, if they're just a neighboring, or not a neighboring, they claim to be from far, far away. So they're not a threat. They're not part of the land that God told them to conquer. And they're just, hey, let's be at peace. What's wrong with peace? Let's do it. Well, that temptation is in your life too. That temptation is all the time. It seems good. It seems right. Let's just do it. Let's compromise on this point. It's not the main point. We'll still do the main stuff. We got, Joshua's like, yeah, we'll still conquer all the land. We'll still do our thing. And we can have peace with these guys. And it seems just good and right. And he went for it. He didn't even seek the counsel of God. And Joshua was a God-fearing man. Joshua knew the commandments of God. He followed Moses around. He was close. He was the one. And he didn't seek the counsel of God. I don't think he was like, had turned his back and fallen away from God. I don't think he was in a position where he didn't care about God or his commandments. I don't think that's what it was. I think Joshua was just straight up deceived into something that seemed just totally right and natural, and he didn't think, give it a second thought. Okay, and that's the problem. He didn't give it a second thought. He wasn't careful to obey all God commanded him. We've looked at that a few times, but recognize that. Recognize that your mind will play tricks on you. And Satan does not usually tempt you with just direct evil. Satan tempts you with things that look good. The enemy of your faith is not 100% falsehood. It's 99% truth. That's where you get into trouble, when something is 99% true, almost accurate, almost perfect, and it falls short. Everyone falls short. Okay, God's standard is perfection and absolute holiness. Okay. So Joshua doesn't get it. He goes for fake peace. God is the God of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? True peace comes from the Lord. Let's do it. Let's support that. We should all want that. But in your eagerness for peace and for peacemaking, do not fall into the temptation of a false peace. And that's what Joshua did here. It's an easy temptation, a strong temptation. and he fell right into it. Okay. It also reminds me in the book of Acts, much of the book of Joshua reminds me of the book of Acts, of course. But there's a fellow that they call him Simon the Magician. And Peter went up to visit him. And Simon recognized the power of God. He recognized the miracles the Holy Spirit was doing. And he wanted that. And he was a magician. He was good at magic tricks and conjuring tricks and whatever magicians are up to. He was good at that. But he saw something way bigger, way better going on here. He was doing counterfeit stuff. And this Holy Spirit thing is the real thing. So I want it. And I want to pay money for it. And Peter absolutely rebuked him. Peter saw through it. This guy seems like he wants the real thing. He wants the Holy Spirit. What's wrong with that? Wouldn't anybody? But Peter recognized a sinfulness in him. And Peter, absolutely strong, hard rebuke for him in the book of Acts. Joshua did not recognize these guys. He did not recognize their deceitful, the guile that was behind the innocent-looking request. He did not recognize it. Discernment is a spiritual gift that comes from the Holy Spirit. Wisdom comes from the fear of God. If you're going to navigate through decision-making stuff, you need to be doing it in the counsel of God at all times. And, it's not easy, but this is a reminder. It's a reminder to you, okay? they can quote Scripture. Satan can quote Scripture. These guys can quote and reference Moses. They're able to do it. They're able to look really, really good and right and everything else. God's the God of peace, but not all peace is from God. So there's such thing as a false peace. things that seem right are not always right. Okay. That's that. I think we're going to move into chapter 10 here for the next one. But God bless you. Seek him. Trust in him. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. Do not depart from the left or the right. Be careful to obey all he's commanded you. Seek the Holy Spirit. He is the wonderful counselor. He's counselor, okay? He is with you. He gives you the gifts of discernment, of wisdom. And you need to trust in him and not your own self. God bless you. We'll be in chapter 10 tomorrow. See you then.